with you tonight from God's Word. And let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for that title, Emmanuel. We are thankful that you did come to walk among men. We thank you, Lord, that you came and you died among men. We pray tonight, Father, we might understand that. So pray, Lord, for receptive hearts as we look at your word. Teach us tonight, Father. May this Christmas cause us never to be the same again. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I came tonight, I was watching a TV show, and it was all about aliens coming to Earth. In fact, the show, I believe it was called The History of Aliens in the Earth. And I only caught part of it, but it talked about aliens coming to this earth in different times and, you know, Roswell and all that kind of thing. And, you know, and if you watch and if you listen to people, a lot of people believe that we've had aliens in our world. In fact, most people think they look like this. I don't know, maybe that looks like a family member or something. Some say they look like this. In fact, others say that they've actually walked among us, and when they did, they looked like this. Now, I have heard reports, don't know how true they are, but someone said they may even have red hair and look like this. But of course, we know they don't look like that. They really look like this. Now, I don't know about you, but I do believe that our Earth has been visited. I don't know about anyone that looks, well, at least like the first three pictures, but I believe we have been visited. And it seems like our world is so quick and so ready to believe that aliens have come, but so slow and so willing to believe that God has come. That God has come, and he has walked among us, and he has talked with us, and he's lived among us, and he has visited this earth. In fact, the songs you've heard sang tonight by our praise team and played by Connie and Brianna were songs all about that title, Emmanuel, that God was among us. And many of the songs we sang, the Christmas songs, are all about God visiting us and at least first time coming in a manger. In fact, in our passage tonight that Joe read and I read again, in fact, Bob read earlier about it being prophesied, that is where we see this title in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 23. It says, the virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That word is originally from the Hebrew and Greek, and the word Emmanuel means with us, and the word El, an Old Testament word for the word God, means God. Emmanuel, God with us. That God came, and God has visited us, and God has actually walked and been among us. In fact, I'd like to tonight, just for a few moments, talk about some occasions when God did walk and did talk with us. In fact, the first time we're told was found all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You don't need to turn there, but I want you to listen for a moment. God was walking, we are told, with Adam and Eve. It says, then the man and his wife, this is after they had sinned, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called on the man, where are you? Now, it's not that he didn't know where they were. He knew where they were, but he was kind of directing it towards their heart and reminding them and letting them know that their relationship with God had changed because of their sin. It seems evident from this passage that if it wasn't daily, it was almost daily, that God would come and spend time with Adam and Eve, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them. Think about that for a moment. The God of this universe, the creator of all that we can see and imagine, he would come amongst man, Adam and Eve, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them. And then they sinned, and they hid from God. And their relationship with God had been affected. In fact, we're told at the end of Genesis chapter 3 that God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden and that he kept them from going back into the garden. He put angels between them and him and kept them from what they had with God, which was a relationship with God in which God would actually come to this earth and he would walk and he would talk with man. Now, the Bible tells us that God doesn't have legs and he doesn't have hands and he doesn't have a body like us. God is a spirit. But when God would come among us, he would take on a body and he would walk and he would talk with Adam and Eve until they had sinned. And it ruined their relationship. But as we read the Old Testament, we find that God did come and walk and talk with man again. It was not on a regular basis like with Adam and Eve. It was not in the same relationship he had with Adam and Eve. But on some very, very special occasions, the Bible tells us that God would come among men again, and he would walk with them, and he would once again talk with them. Very special occasions. In fact, one of them is when he came to talk with Abraham. Well, he was not alone. He had two angels with him. And he came to talk with Abraham, and he came to let him know two very important things. One was one of judgment, that God's judgment would be poured out against Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin, because of their pride in turning against God. And he would let Abraham know that his judgment was going to fall on those two cities. It was an important event for Abraham because his nephew Lot was there. But it was not just for that purpose. He came to let him know that he would have a child. Abraham, who was well in age. In fact, we won't say he was old, because then we'd have to say Sarah was old, but they were older. And God was going to do a miracle. And God was going to bring him a child. That child who would ultimately be in the line of Jesus. Not only at the time of Abraham, but we're told God then again did appear. Came to one of his children, Jacob. Came to Jacob because he had another important message for man. In fact, this message was specifically for Jacob. God came to let Jacob know that he was going to change his name. It would change from Jacob to the name of what would become God's chosen people. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Would become the name of a name we know today, the nation of Israel. God came again. In fact, you've heard of the incident, I'm sure. God came in the form of a burning bush, a bush that burned but did not go out, a bush that ultimately would have someone come in the presence who had their sandals on but had to remove them because of God's holiness. And God was letting Moses know that he had been God's chosen person to go to bring the message to the Egyptian Pharaoh that he needed to let God's people go, the nation of Israel, so that they could go and worship God. So he went to let them know. God came again to a person you may also know. In fact, it wasn't directly to him, but it was to his parents. It's one of the guys who's very memorable. In fact, there were movies made about him. He's a very strong guy. A guy by the name of Samson. He came to Samson's parents and he let them know that they were going to have a child. And that child would be the strongest guy who was ever born. The child would be Samson. And that he would do many great things for the nation of Israel, and he would save Israel from their captors, from the nations around them. God came to let them know that that child would be special. God came again, but in a little different way. He came to let Israel know that he was the God who was their God, and he wanted them to know that he was in the center of their nation, and that their nation needed to make sure that they kept him center. So God had them build a house for him. It was a temporary house. We call it the tabernacle. And in the center of that house, which started with a holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, they would build in there a box that would contain some very special articles. On top of that box would be two angels, or two things that would represent those angels. And it was there where the high priest would come once a year with blood. That blood would be a sacrifice for the people of Israel for their sin. And it was there that God would meet with the high priest once a year. As the priest would take the blood and he would present it before God as a covering for their sin. And it was there that the priests in the nation of Israel would come to realize that blood had to be shed. In fact, the Bible says that life is found in the blood. That blood had to be shed, and through the shedding of blood, ultimately that sacrifice would represent a child who would be born. Who would one day come, many years later, he would be born of a virgin, and he would die on a cross. And that sacrifice that high priest would bring once a year for all those years would represent his shed blood. God would meet there with the priest. He would meet there with Moses. You know what? Man messed it up again. In fact, we're told in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel wrote about how Israel had sinned and they forgot. They messed it all up. And they took God from the center of their nation and they moved them out to the side of their lives. And they basically said, we don't need God. We have more important things to do. We don't need God. We don't have time for God. We've got other things that are more important. And God got shoved to the side. And we're told in the book of Ezekiel that God's presence, as represented by what is called the Shekinah glory, the presence of God on earth, slowly moved from the tabernacle and then hovered above the tabernacle and then hovered a little bit higher, and then ultimately God's presence left the earth once again because of mankind's sin. Until God would come once again and would be born of that virgin. Would come and again dwell among men and would live among us and walk amongst us and talk with man once again. Could you imagine what it would have been like on that first Christmas day? In fact, for some 30 years later, when mankind actually got to walk with Jesus, got to walk with God, and what it would have been like to be there and to be in the presence of God. In Jesus, God walked and he talked with man once again. But you know what? Man messed up again. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God dwelt with us. And man didn't recognize it. Think about it. Emmanuel means God with us. Watch this video.
In to the tipping point, the moment that, with, a bond is created. I'm with child. She's with me. Play with us. Deep down, we know that the best way to show love is not just to say it, but to be with. Which is why a virgin gave birth to a son who was named Emmanuel, which means God with us. The manger, the cross, the tomb, all to make a way for God to be with us, with you.
God with us. That's what happened when Jesus was born. He became God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came and He stood amongst us. He was in our presence. Bible predicted it. Bob read the verses. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, when that prediction was made in the book of Isaiah, a king by the name of Ahaz was king. And he was one of the most wicked kings Israel ever had. And the nation of Syria and Israel were getting ready to attack him. They were getting ready to destroy him. And instead of going to God for help, he turned to Assyria. And Isaiah came to him and said, "What in the world are you doing? Why didn't you turn to God?" And God had a message to that king, and God had a message to Israel, and He wanted them to know that God had not forsaken them, that God was still with them, even though they had forsaken God. So God gave the prediction of Isaiah 7:14 that the virgin would be with child and would give birth to Emmanuel. Jesus ultimately became the fulfillment of that prediction. It was the prediction that God was with them, and it was the prediction that God was going to be with us once again. Even though Adam and Eve had messed it up, even though Israel had messed it up, God would come and walk amongst us again in the person of Jesus. See, that's what the birth of Jesus was all about, that God came to walk on this earth and talk with man. Now, you may ask, was Jesus really God? The answer is yes. He had divine names. He had divine claims. He had divine titles. He had divine attributes. He had divine works. In fact, He received divine worship. People bowed down before Him and they worshiped Him, and He received and accepted their worship. Now, you can either believe that and believe that indeed He is God, or you only have two other choices. Either He was a liar or He was a lunatic. But you can't stop with Jesus and say He was a good man or He was a good teacher and not also call Him God. For He was Emmanuel, God with us. What was Jesus' motive for coming amongst us? Why did God come and walk amongst us? Well, the Bible tells us that only God could do what Jesus was about to do. You and I couldn't do it. In Psalm 49, verse 7, it says this: "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is enough." See, Jesus didn't come just to start a holiday. He didn't come so that you and I can remember his birth or so that you and I can give gifts to one another. He came to die on the cross. He came to remind us that we still have the possibility to walk and talk with God. That even though man had messed it up, that we still have that possibility that we once again could walk and talk with God. Jesus came to pay the penalty for sin. And only God can do that. Only God could stretch out his hands and pay the price for sin, because only God could come to this earth and live a sinful life, a sinless life. Only God can come to this earth and live without sin. Only God could come to this earth and be born without sin. He came to offer the opportunity to walk with and talk with God again, to deliver us from our sin. In fact, the Bible says in heaven, God will once again walk and talk with man. Listen to it. In Revelation chapter 21, it says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. People will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things had passed away.'" One day in heaven, man will have the opportunity again to walk and talk with God for all eternity. That is what Jesus brought when he came to this earth and he walked among us. He brought that possibility. He brought that possibility. You know, the Bible says that there are only two roads. There are only two gates. One gate leads to death, one gate leads to destruction, the other gate leads to life, the other gate leads to heaven. If we choose like Israel did and like Adam and Eve did, and we choose to reject God and go our own way, then the result we receive is the same result they received: separation from God. Only this time, separation from God for all eternity, with no opportunity for that ever to be crossed again. The Bible makes clear in Romans chapter 10 that if we will come to a point in our life and we will recognize that the person who was born in that manger, the person who stretched out his hands on that cross, was not just a human being like every one of us, but someone special, someone very special. He was God in the flesh. He was God who walked and talked with mankind. If we will recognize who he is and not just stop saying he was a good man or he was a good prophet or he was a good teacher, but we will come to recognize him as who he really is: God. And if we will believe that God himself came and he lived among us and he talked with man, and then he died on the cross for our sin, that God came and died on the cross for our sin, and that through his death we have the opportunity to have a relationship with God once again, if we will believe that, and if we will believe that the sole way to get to heaven is through Jesus, because he is the only gate. In fact, Jesus said he was the gate. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father, God the Father, except through him. If we will turn from our sin and we will turn back to God and receive Jesus Christ as the master of our life and as our Savior, then the promise of God is this: then when this earth is over and our life is done, we all will one day again walk with God and talk with God for all eternity. We must first turn to Him. We must first put Him where He belongs in our life. Center. You know, there's nothing we can do except to realize God has done it all. That doesn't mean that once we come to Jesus, we can kind of go back and go our own way again. It means that our life changes, and from that point on, Christ gets back where He ought to be. God gets back where He ought to be, in the center of our life. But we must first believe who He is and what He did. Over in Japan, Christmas has become pretty much like it has become in America. Really good way to make money and sell a lot of things. So a reporter went out on the streets and he began asking around, what's Christmas all about? What is the meaning of Christmas? And he came to this one lady and he stuck the mic in her face and he said, what is the meaning of Christmas? And she said, I don't know. Isn't that the day Jesus died? Yeah, I think she got it right. Because the very day He was born was the very day they looked forward to His death. God walked once again among men and prepared to die for our sins. And if you will tonight, if you never have before, understand that that person who died was God. And He died for you. And He died for me. And that what He did is the only way you could ever have a relationship with His Father. And that what He did is the only way you will in eternity ever have any opportunity to once again walk with God and talk with God. Let's bow our heads. I'll ask everyone if you would just close your eyes. I want to give you the opportunity to receive the whole reason why Jesus came, the whole reason why God came. He came for you. God of the universe came for you. So that when you die, you can walk and talk with God for all eternity. You have to come to a place in your life where you realize Jesus was God. He walked among us, talked with us, and He came to die for your sin. The only way you ever have any possibility to go to heaven is to believe that what Jesus did is all that needed to be done. And it's everything that you needed to be done. If you will, right now, between you and God, call upon Him to save you from your sin. Believe that what Jesus did is the sole payment that you need. And receive Him as your Savior. Begin from this moment to walk for Him and walk with Him. One day you will indeed walk in His presence. Father God, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that has not received Your Son as their Savior, that tonight would be the night when they finally realize that when Your Son came, it was God who came. That when Your Son died, it was You who was dying for our sins. Father, I pray they would receive Your Son as their Savior. Turn from their sin and begin to walk and to live the way that You want them to live. Begin to do the things that You want them to do. And I pray, Lord, that when people look at their life, they would see You in them. Father, I pray that this night would change their life forever. Father, help us not to celebrate this day without realizing who it is that came and why it is you died for our sins. So, Father, as we celebrate tomorrow, I pray, Lord, as we think about gift giving, we might remember the greatest gift ever given. And I pray, Lord, we might bring you praise. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As our praise team comes forward, as you walked in, I hope you grabbed a candle. They are going to come forward, and our ushers are going to come forward, and as they do, we are going to be lighting candles. And in a moment, we're all going to stand. Our ushers will work our way down the center aisle, and they will...